The series this month has been on the miracles of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. And tonight we're going to study about the man of Bethsaida, the man of Bethsaida. Okay, got good news here tonight. We serve a God of miracles. What are miracles? What's a miracle? It's making possible what is impossible for humanity to do. A miracle is making possible what is impossible for humanity to do. It's going beyond natural laws and performing the supernatural in the lives of His followers. And we serve a miracle-working Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You agree here tonight? All right. Jesus, when He walked this earth, He was the miracle worker. The Word of God says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with Him. God was with Him. And Jesus, when He walked Israel from north to south, He went about doing good. He did miracles. He made the impossible possible in people's lives. He brought down the supernatural into the natural realm of humanity. That's good news. Amen?
Amen.
And we serve the same Jesus today. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago in Israel is the same Jesus who is with us tonight, and He wants to do a miracle in your life. Is that good news? All right, now, Jesus, the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 1:3, is the exact representation of God the Father's being. It says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God the Father's being. If Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, what does that say about God the Father? It says that He wants to do something good in your life, and if you're being oppressed of the devil tonight, He wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you from the enemy's grip. Amen? If you've been in the kingdom of darkness, if you're in the kingdom of darkness, if you're oppressed in your spirit, if the devil is keeping you up at night, God tonight wants to set your life free. How many have room for a miracle in their life? How many here tonight can stand the supernatural in their life beginning right now? Amen? We're going to read from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26, the account of the man of Bethsaida, the blind man. And then we're going to look at it closely. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. This is from the NIV. It says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When He had spit on the man's eyes and put His hands on him, Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said," in verse 24, "'I see people. They look like trees walking around.'" Verse 25, "Once more Jesus put His hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, 'Don't go into the village. Don't go into the village.'" Now, there's a few things I want to take note of in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26 concerning this miracle, the opening of the eyes of the man blind in Bethsaida. Number one is this: the process of miracles doesn't always make sense. Does not always make sense. Let's look at how Jesus went about healing this man. It says this in verse 23, that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When He had spit on the man's eyes, put His hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Now, why did Jesus spit on the man's eyes? Spit on the man's eyes. That's kind of unusual, right? That He spit on the man's eyes. It's like, couldn't He just touch the man and heal him? But you know what? The process of miracles does not always make sense to the human mind. Some of you may have heard this story before. I was preaching the gospel to about 250 people in South India back in March of 2000. I was preaching the gospel, and all at once this woman at the very front began to writhe like a snake back and forth, right up front. people sit on the floor there in South India for gospel meetings. So she began to twist and shake and writhe like a snake. And I just stopped in the middle of my sermon. It didn't make sense, but I stopped in the middle of it and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And immediately that woman became straight. She sat straight and listened to the rest of the message. Sometimes miracles, the process of miracles, don't make sense. Making sense tonight? Doesn't always make sense to the human mind. Now, there's a story told about Smith Wigglesworth. How many here have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Dynamic evangelist, I believe from England, was born in 1859 and lived until 1947 and had his ministry in the early part of the 1900s up until the time that he died. And he was known for some very unusual miracles and how he went about praying for people. And just reading the story that a couple of parents, mom and a dad, brought their little child, I think he was about 2 months old, to one of Smith Wigglesworth's meetings. About 2 months old. This child had a deformity in his back, like a spinal disease. And from what I hear, this child was twisted and really couldn't stand straight, and this child was very ill. And so Smith Wigglesworth went about to pray for this child. And as the story goes, I may have some of the details wrong, but as the story goes, what I studied just this evening was that he asked the parents permission to pray for this child in an unusual way, and they gave him permission. So he took this child. It takes a lot of faith to do this. He took this little child with a spinal deformity and he threw him up against the wall. I kid you not. And then, believe it or not, like a football, like a soccer ball, kicked that child. And I kid you not, instantly, the child was healed of a spinal deformity. Isn't that awesome? Now I tell you, friends, it takes a lot of faith in a big God to do something like that. You have got to know that you know that you know deep down on the inside, if you're going to do something like that while praying for the sick, that God has got to heal that person. Is that making sense? Because if not, you could be in big legal trouble, right? Perhaps in prison for life. But Smith Wigglesworth had great faith in a big God, and he prayed for the child in an unusual way. It didn't make sense to the human minds. Just like it didn't make sense when Jesus spit on the blind man's eye. So the process of miracles do not always make sense to the natural minds. The second thing that I would like to observe about this passage is verse 22. It says this in Mark 8:22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. What do we see here? These people begging Jesus to touch the blind man showed what about these people? They had what in God? They had what? They had faith in God. What does God require for miracles in our lives? For physical miracles, mental miracles, emotional miracles, any kind of relational miracles. What does God require of you and me? He requires faith, because the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, what does that say to me and you? That with faith it is what? It is possible to please God. Making sense? That with faith, it is possible to please God. Now, what is faith? What is faith? Knowing that you know that you know that you know deep down on the inside here, in your knower, that it's gonna happen no matter what. It's knowing that you know without doubting for even a moment in time that God is able to do for you the miracle he has promised you in your life. It's a doubtless kind of faith that God honors. Now, I want to read you a little story here about a young boy many years ago, talking about faith, trusting God. Some scientists in Scotland offered a boy a handsome sum of money if he would allow himself to be let down by a rope over a cliff in a precipitous mountain gorge. The boy longed for the money, for he was poor. But when he looked down into the 200-foot chasm, he said, "No,
After further persuasion, he said, I will go if my father holds the rope. That is faith. He had confidence in his father. He believed in his father. And by an act of the will, he allowed his father to fasten the rope around him and let him down. He would only go down the rope if his father was at the top holding the rope. That shows what? That shows doubtless trust in his dad. And that's the kind of faith that God is looking for in you and in me. It's a doubtless kind of faith, a faith that does not doubt the goodness and the power of God for even a millisecond in your life, knowing that you know that you know deep down on the inside that what God has promised you, He is faithful and He will perform it in your life. Amen? And that's what these people had who brought the blind man to Jesus. They begged Jesus to touch him. It was as if they knew on the inside that Jesus, we know that if you just touch this man, he will be healed. They begged Jesus because they knew that Jesus, with one touch of Jesus' hands, this man could be healed. And that's what God honors is faith. Now, a couple of famous ministers said a couple of different things about faith. D.L. Moody says this, some say that faith is the gift of God. So is the air, but you have to breathe it. So is the bread, but you have to eat it. Some are wanting some miraculous kind of feeling. That's not faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is whence faith comes. It is not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come stealing over me with strong sensation, but it is for me to take God at His word. Friend, if God has promised you in His word that He is the miracle worker, He can do a miracle in your life, He can heal your sick body, He can heal the sick body of a loved one, that He says He can heal your mind, He can heal your emotions, He can heal that relationship. If God has promised you that, and we know it from His word, we have got to take God at His word. And that's what faith is. It's taking God at His word. George Mueller says this. George Mueller was a powerful missionary in England. He set up orphanages in the 1800s. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins, here it is, faith begins where man's power ends. That's good, right? Where you're weak and can't do anymore, and all you got is faith, that's when God moves on your behalf. All right, so we see faith in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. The faith of the people that brought the blind man to Jesus. And I'm sure that the blind man himself, along with those people, also had a strong faith. I bet he was telling the people, just bring me to Jesus. Just bring me to Jesus. Just bring me to Jesus, because we know that Jesus is the miracle working God. The Jesus who healed these other people is the Jesus who is able to heal me. So I'm sure that this man, along with the people that brought him to Jesus, had strong faith himself. Is that making sense? The other thing about this story, this account, that I'd like to bring out tonight is this. Is that it says that Jesus spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. And then Jesus asked him, do you see anything? And what did he say? He said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. So he was partially healed, right? And then in verse 25 it says, once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were opened and his sight restored, and he saw everything clearly. We can see that this miracle here was not instantaneous. It did not happen within one try, one second, right? We see that it took a small process of time, right? Jesus spit on the man's eyes, he touched him, and he started to see people like trees. And then Jesus again, he once more put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened, and he saw everybody perfectly clearly. So in this instance, we saw that this physical miracle was what? It was not, it wasn't necessarily instantaneous, but it was what? It was kind of a process. It may have taken a process of an hour, or the process of 30 minutes, or the process of 10 minutes. Who knows? But it was a process. So I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that physical miracles could be instantaneous. Any kind of miracle could be instantaneous, or it can take a process of time like it took for this man in Mark chapter 8. Is that making sense? So you might have been believing God maybe for a week for your miracle. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. And you're like, man, I'm starting to get weak in my faith right now. Is this thing really going to happen? I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that miracles sometimes take a process of time. They may not happen instantaneously, but still, don't give up in God. Don't give up your faith in God. Keep on keeping on believing that God is able to do in your life what He promised to you. It'll happen, but it may not happen yesterday. It may take a while. Is that making sense tonight? Now, Abraham. I like to talk about Abraham here. Abraham, in the Old Testament, was a mighty man of God, right? In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him that He would make him into a great nation. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to others. Turn over there if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Verse 2, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now it says that Abraham was 75 years old when God promised that this miracle would occur in his life. 75 years old. Now if you go over to Genesis chapter 21, verse 15, I believe it is. Genesis 21, 5, I'm sorry. Genesis 21, verse 5. We find out that Abraham was how old when this miracle began to take place? When the miracle son through whom he would become a great nation would come, how old was Abraham when the miracle started taking place? He was 100, right? So God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. The promised son, the miracle son, was born when he was 100 years old. And this miracle son was the one through whom the great nation would come. So Abraham was 75 when God promised him, and he was 100 when the actual miracle took place, when the promised son, the miracle son, Isaac, was born. So if he was 75 when God made the promise, and he was 100 years old when the son was actually born, how many years did Abraham wait in faith? He waited 25 years for the miracle to be manifested in his life. And so you've been waiting a year, or 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years, and you're starting to give up. Don't give up, friend. That's my word of encouragement to you tonight. Don't give up believing God, for it shall come to pass in your life. If Abraham waited 25 years, and Abraham was a person just like you and me, that means that we can wait on God. Amen? And God will show Himself faithful and true, because He is not a man that He should lie. Now, Romans chapter 4, to close it off. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, Paul the Apostle writing about this account of Abraham. Romans 4. It says this in verse 18. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Here's the key. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact, he knew his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief, verse 20 of Romans 4, regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what He had promised. And friend, the word to you tonight is this, is that we also are not to waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God in our lives. If Abraham was able to wait 25 years, friends, we can wait a year. We can wait 2 years. We can wait 5 years. We can wait 10 years. Because it says this. It says that he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised
to Him. Friends, we have got to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do in your life, in my life, what He has promised He will do for us. Is that making sense? So God is looking for a doubtless faith, that childlike faith, and God is looking for a persevering faith, a faith that does not quit when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, the tough in God gets going. Just got to keep on believing and not waver through unbelief. And when you get weak, you may get weak at times. Like, God, I've been waiting so long for this miracle, for this healing in my body, for this healing in the life of my loved one, for this emotional miracle, that I would climb out of depression. God, that this relationship would come back together. God, I've been believing and believing and believing, and right now I'm starting to get weak. And as you cry out to God that way, which is prayer, I'm telling you, if you cry out to God in prayer, in your weakness, I guarantee that God will respond to you. He responds to the prayers of His followers. Amen?